Hello, it's Monday, September 26th, and you're listening to the DreamStation.cc video game show. I'm your host, Chris, and this is show number 24. Check out our website, www.dreamstation.cc, for news, reviews, interviews, forums, podcast feeds, and our downloadable show archive. Drop us a line if you would like. Our email address is videogameshow@dreamstation.cc. And on the panel of gentlemen here, we have Keith.
Greetings.
Phil.
Yarr. I mean, that was last week.
You're a week late.
And lastly, Bob.
Hi. Lastly, Bob.
Today on the show, we will be going over all of the following. What's new at Dream Station? The price drop for the current generation? Peter Moore's TGS interview? The first content cut due to lack of hard drives on the new Xbox? An audio review of one of our listeners of Nintendogs? I guess that would be by one of our listeners, not of one of our listeners. Although that might be funny, too. 25 to Life Delayed? Mark Rain's rant? An Xbox review of X-Men Legends 2? Factor Crap? Nintendo DS impressions and a rant, our forum question, and lastly, the mailbag.
Next topic.
Okay, jumping into housekeeping, podcastla.com, odeo.com. We do want to say thank you for our over 4,000 downloads.
And then all they got was the pirate show.
Over 4,000 downloads of two shows ago, so the 9/12 show, so it wasn't even the pirate show. I was going to say, I downloaded it over 3,000 times just myself, so... Our Space Pirate DVD contest is over. I did not yet send out the DVD. I will be doing so this week. And as far as our second place, the spinning heel kick won by a landslide. Neil sounds the coolest out of all the maneuvers. Next week's show may be slightly different. I will not be around. It will be these three buffoons on their own.
Yeah.
No pressure or anything, but there have been a lot of emails going around saying that people can't wait for the next show. So you can go ahead and disappoint them in 1 week's time.
Oh, you can wait.
For those of you just joining us this week, next week's show isn't going to be the norm. I can't guarantee it's going to be any good. I can't guarantee these shows are any good, but you guys keep listening, so thank you.
Yeah, this week's poll will be, do you want Bob to play 30 minutes of sarcoma in the background or 30 minutes of kazoo music?
It wasn't either. It's a piano. A horn. Thank you very much.
I'm the one with the harmonica here, buddy. And Brian's got a banjo. We're ready.
Next week, Little Otter's Junk Time Band will be performing with Mother of Pearl Handle. The PSP firmware 2.0 has been hacked. No real news there except for Haha Sony. Sony also has recalled the power cords for the new slimmer design PS2. This happened a week or two ago. I did not tell you guys about it, and I won't give any more information because we're a little short on the video game-related deaths, so enjoy. Dave Defeat Source has come out today. I jumped on it earlier, and it broke all of my audio settings. It took us an additional 15 minutes to set up for this show. From what I looked at it for about 3 minutes, I couldn't get onto another server, but it looks promising.
Doesn't sound it.
All right, moving on.
Next topic.
What's new at DreamStation.cc?
Tell us.
Sigma Star Saga review for the Game Boy Advance, Need for Speed Underground 2 review for the PC, and the Logitech Wireless MX3100 PC desktop thing.
Oh, this is a bang-up show. No, yeah. 4,000 downloads this week.
Next topic.
The price drop for the current generation. Activision CEO Robert Kotick has said that next year you'll start to see cheaper games for the current generation consoles. He also said developers will switch to the next gen rather than going with the current gen for the consoles and the games that they put out for it. Activision will release 40-plus games for the Xbox 360 in the coming year, twice as many as they released in the first year of the Xbox One. So again, I will stand by my statement that you must not have to be able to do a whole lot to be the CEO. I mean, the Xbox is coming. I bet you'll see more games for it.
Yeah, that means Cheap Phil can finally go out and buy a current gen console.
You can help us review Nintendo Entertainment System games. I hear Tecmo Bowl is pretty good. I guess the only thing worth, Activision is going to release 40 or more games in the first year of the Xbox 360, which is actually a pretty high number. Now, granted, all of those 40...
How many of them are sequels?
Yeah, I was just going to say most of them are probably just rehashes of Quake and Doom and all the things that we've already played. But hey, beggars can't be choosers.
Next topic.
Peter Moore's Tokyo Game Show interview. Peter Moore, Vice President of Worldwide Marketing for the Xbox, had an interview with the Tokyo...
I hate that guy's movies.
Yeah, I was about to say, isn't it the fat guy that, like, makes the documentaries? Whatever he's trying to do, he skews all the facts to say, and people like him for some god-awful reason.
That's Michael Moore.
You're close. It's actually not at all that guy. Peter Moore had an interview at the Tokyo Game Show with French website Xboxide. Le Xboxide. He emphasized needed success in Japan. He commented on the price differences over in Japan. Japan, we had mentioned last week that the console, the Xbox 360, will be about $50 cheaper if you translate it to U.S. dollars. It all works out. No one's being cheated. There's like sales tax and stuff that's done differently over there. I'm not sure how that works, but okay. Format and capacity of the DVD-9s. They're interested in the here and the now at Microsoft. All the developers that Microsoft has been talking to that have been developing Xbox 360 games say that they are comfortable with DVD-9 and its capacity. That's pretty much the exact opposite of what we've been reporting over the last few weeks. Most of the people were saying that they're having concerns about how they're going to squeeze all that content onto the current DVDs.
They're just not going to put all that content on there.
Yeah, I was just going to say,
every game will be 12 DVDs.
We're going to get to that in a minute. Didn't have anything negative really to say about his competition. He said that the PSP is a cool device, so that shows he doesn't really know what's going on.
He didn't say it was a good gaming system. He said it was a cool device, which I really can't argue there. It is a cool device. It just is a horrible gaming system.
He spoke about Nintendo's controller. I welcome the Nintendo innovation. It's risky. We shall see. I'd give you a better opinion if I could actually see it work with a game. I saw people pointing at the camera. You have to admire a company that's willing to take a risk like that. And if it truly does grow the business, then I think we all benefit.
Take a risk at pointing at the camera? Did you see that? He pointed at the camera. What innovation! What a rebel! This guy emerges to the beat of his own drum.
In a separate interview with the TGS, he spoke about the Metal Gear trailer. He said, cell processor or not, when I look at the technical specs, I don't see anything that concerns me overly from a performance point of view.
Dog, you just got dissed!
He says, the fact that they feel the need to have Snake tell you that it's a powerful console, that could be a sign of worry or weakness, potentially. Or it could be Snake showing you that his console's going to blow yours out of the water in the graphics department. I mean, you could take it one of two ways. Another funny thing that this dude said, gamers are smart. They haven't seen or played a PlayStation 3. He said, being first to the market is the most important thing. Well, let me tell you a little something-something. I haven't seen or played an Xbox 360, so...
Next topic.
First content has been cut due to the lack of the hard drive of the aforementioned Xbox 360. Volition, who also developed Punisher, the producers there revealed that there won't be flyable aircraft in Saints Row. Basically, the DVD can't stream the high-definition content fast enough, and without a hard drive to load that stuff on, all that had to be cut.
Magnificent.
All the developers are comfortable with the DVD-9, idiot.
Very comfortable with it.
Comfortable like talking to a guy with a glass eye.
It's awkward. It's uncomfortable. You don't know which eye to look at. You don't know where that one is staring off into space. What are you looking at? There's nothing back there.
Do what I do. You get a guy with a glass eye, just look to the left of him. And then when he shifts so he's in front of your vision, keep looking to the left of him. I'd be like, I'm not going to play your game. You figure out what I'm looking at.
How do you like it?
I refuse to stoop to your level there, Cyclops. Not that we have anything against people with only one eye. I mean, as a matter of fact, one of my best friends only has one eye, so I'm not racist. I mean, so yeah, this is the first and probably what's going to be many people cutting things as they realize, boy, this DVD version kind of sucks, and oh, well, thanks for no hard drive because I can't put all the stuff that I want onto this DVD. It would be just as bad if they released this stuff on three DVDs as you jump into the Jeep and it says, please insert disc 2, and in a multiplayer game, some other dude who's not on disc 2 has just killed you while you're swapping CDs, so. Good job, Peter Moore.
It seems perfectly fair.
Phil lost power tonight, and in a testament to his perseverance, he had the old UPS loaded up, and he was by candlelight on his laptop with his battery on his dial-up modem. I mean, that's the stuff that people go through to get you guys high-quality audio content every week.
This quality programming you've come to love.
Mm. What, they all of a sudden become PBS? That Michael Flatley guy is 47?
And he's like a billionaire.
Thanks for that input.
The talking of the PBS thing made me think of the other night when I dropped the remote, and I didn't feel like getting it, and it was still on PBS. So I was watching Celtic Tiger, Michael Flatley's going away performance. That dude's old, but his feet still move fast.
Wow, as long as we're not off topic. I'm going to shuffle off to Buffalo. Give me an old Texas two-step there, Michael Flatley.
Next topic.
Bye.
What do you say?
Remembered left.
Apparently, oh. Phil is actually a demon, and a bunch of kids in their basement drew one of them pentagrams, chanted some words. Phil had no choice but to comply because they knew his real name.
You know my true name. Damn, I was recording the podcast. Balthorax. Mark is unpleased.
Nintendogs. Eric Wall sent in an audio review of Nintendogs, since none of us have a DS. It was a pretty good audio review, so for those listening, stuff like this in the future, he sent it to me in mono, and I think 64 kilobits MP3, which was perfect. I downsampled it, edited it slightly, and here you go.
Hey guys, this is Eric Wall from St. Paul, and I just thought that I would chime in and tell you what you guys are missing with Nintendogs. For the $25 I spent for it, it's given me a lot of game time. As you guys have said, it's a dog simulator. Just like a Tamagotchi, you have to feed and bathe your dog. One of the fun things in the game is all the toys you can get. They range from a remote control helicopter to a Mario Kart to a bubble blower that allows you to blow soap bubbles with the touch screen. Every day you can enter 3 contests. The first is a frisbee competition, the second an agility competition, and the third is an obedience competition. In order to progress in the game, you need to get more money by completing contests, and these contests make you work with your dog by practicing at home, the gym, or the park. In order to get around town, you go on walks where you can get items ranging from small chew toys to meteorites and Easter Island statues. The more trainer points you have, the more dogs you can get. If you get enough points, you can eventually get all the dogs from the other versions as well. So the 3 versions was just the 6 dogs you can start with. There's, I believe, 20 dogs in total. I've tried Bark Mode, which is the wireless mode, but it's rather lame. Once you connect 2 people, you can't interact at the same time. So it's basically like playing at the park with someone else's dog. Music is also very prevalent in the game. You get a keyboard and teach your dog songs. Right now my lab knows the Song of Time from Ocarina of Time, as well as the Song of Storms. Different records you collect make your dogs do certain activities. There's a dance record, there's a eating record, and a sleeping record. I have 3 dogs right now, and I'm really enjoying the game. Although I think Nintendo could have done a better job with different interfaces, bark mode, different accessories you can put on, I think it deserves a 7.5. And on one last note, guys, nothing is more fun than throwing a juice bottle at your dog and seeing them go down for the count.
That was a great interview that we had just heard from our listener, Eric Wall. What a great guy.
Hitting dogs in the head with juice bottles is always the highlight of my day. And we're not talking the Capri Sun soft stuff. We're talking the hard, high-C juice box.
Yeah, before you open it, you know how much them things hurt if you get bopped in the head with... Okay, I know how much those things hurt if you get smacked in the head with them.
Next topic.
25 to life delayed. Earlier today, which is Monday, the EDO said that they are pushing back 25 to life till next year. They're stating a management change and restructuring is the reason. It's in the best interest of the company. That's the official statement. Now, it could be political pressers. Maybe Jack Bumblefoot has won. It could be that the game was a steamy pile and it couldn't stand up in the critical eye of gamers. Basically, this game is a multiplayer game where you can be a cop or a bad guy, and some pinhead New York government people wanted the game boycotted, of course, because it is a cop-killing simulator. Wacko Jacko posted on Game Politics and said, guess what? Jack Thompson keeps racking up wins and you gamers just can't handle the truth. What's the truth? The truth is this. Adults with common sense and common decency who respect law enforcement are still running this country. Video gamers are not and never will. We will never age. We will never be in an age where any of us can be politicians, so nobody who has ever played a video game will ever run for public office. That's that simple.
That's right.
Jack Thompson's talking in the third person, so Jack Thompson is going to lay the smack down on your Rudy Poo candy. Jack Thompson, you can't put Jack Thompson down. Jack Thompson will bounce right back up and smack you in the face.
This goof behind the camera, these idiots looking at The Rock, that regardless of what happens, The Rock is and will forever be the people's champ.
I just wanted to take a moment. I know it's a little out of character for me, and I want to congratulate Mr. Thompson. Congrats. You have delayed a game 3 months. Have a seat. We know it's a lot of excitement for your brain to handle. Maybe you need a nap. I could fetch your blankie. Maybe next time we could shoot for delaying the game 6 months. Maybe 7 months. I mean, we got to take it in baby steps. So good job, and we'll see you next year.
As long as you're not bitter.
I'm bitter. That guy's a punk. But that's all right. Chris Palladino doesn't care what Jack Thompson does. Chris Palladino's going to keep bouncing back. Chris Palladino can handle the truth just fine. Okay. Yes, video gamers will never be running this country. Ever. Ever, ever. I'm sorry, I kind of didn't even give you guys a chance to jump in. Jump in.
No, that was kind of your thing, man. I didn't want to steal your fire. Anything I would have said would have paled in comparison.
Preach on the mountain, brother.
I'm almost disappointed in you for even recognizing him, like mentioning him and getting upset about him because he didn't actually do anything except take credit
for, you know, a game being delayed that was most likely because it was a steaming pile of crap to begin with.
And I debated not even mentioning it. It was just that the arrogance of this third-person talking freak just bothered me. That statement, if he was within arm's distance, I'd smack the heck out of him.
You don't smack a man!
Maybe back in the medieval days, but after that, somebody's got to go.
Next topic.
Mark Rain's rant. Mark Rain, for those in the know, is one of the uppity dudes at Epic Games. Basically, he had an interview in which he said that publishers say they were going to charge more for the next generation games because game costs are rising. He said, basically, just buy technology, don't reinvent the wheel. Now, Epic Games also sells the UT engine, the Unreal Technology engine, and a lot of games are using those engines, so places like id Software that make Doom and Quake, they make the game, and at least in Doom's case, it was a pretty crappy game, but that engine has a lot of technical specs that other people can use to make their games. Well, Mark Rain's ticked because publishers are saying, well, we're going to charge more because it costs so much more to make the game, and he's saying that's not necessarily, it doesn't have to be true. He specifically cited our friends over at EB Games because they pimp pre-owned copies of the games when you go in to try and buy something. His beef is that companies get no profit from this, then the consumers try and use tech support, or they call the company, they call Epic and say, hey, I'm having problems with this game. They're costing Epic and other game companies money, and they didn't pay for this support. So,
but the first guy did, so what difference does it make? It's not like they're losing money.
That's a good point, Keith. That's what I was going to get to, is somebody bought that game the first time around. Now, I don't necessarily agree with EB Games' policy of they buy, you know, they'll buy a game back from you. For example, I bought Tekken 4. I think I paid $40, $50 for it. An hour later, I called EB Games up to see what they would give me for it. They would give me like $20, $25. So they would take it, throw shrink wrap back on it, and then they'd sell it for $45.
Actually, they're not allowed to throw shrink wrap back on it.
I see your point. But you're not allowed to sell it as if it was new. You have to say that it is pre-owned.
Yes.
Against the law.
The whole point is, I don't look at it as a person paid for your technical support. When the game was purchased, that game has allowed technical support. The money paid for the game allows one person technical support.
Jumping back into what Mark Rain was saying was he would like an official use policy with the profit sharing. You already got your profit. You don't get to double dip. He also said that unless these things change, more folks may go through the self-publishing process of digital means, similar to what Valve is doing with their Steam system. Basically, with Steam, I paid for a license kind of that allows that software to be on my computer. So it just downloaded Day of Defeat, it downloaded Half-Life 2, it downloads stuff as I need it. I don't have to pay additional costs for a stupid box that I'm going to throw away and a manual that doesn't say anything.
For them stocking it at EB Games and the overhead of shipping it to EB Games and then sales tax and everything else, yeah, I'd much prefer just downloading the damn software from them.
As long as I have an ability to re-download that if I'm going to wipe my box or something, or sell it online if I get bored of it. Now, I believe Valve has a system where I can sell, say, you, Bob, I can sell you my subscription there to Half-Life and everything else, and it's going to charge me $10 or you $10. There's some sort of fee that goes to Valve to transfer all the accounts over, or I could just give you my password and stuff, and who cares, be done with it. Now, as games grow, it's going to, he's admitting, and I agree with him, 20 and 30 gigabyte downloads aren't really feasible yet. Maybe as the broadband increases in America and other parts of the world, that this will become more and more common. Speaking on that, next generation games will be pretty huge, 20 gigabytes or more. He's complaining, how are they going to fit onto one DVD? The PS3's Blu-ray will be pretty much maxed with Epic's PS3 games. Gears of War is supposed to be a pretty pimped Xbox 360 game, so it's funny that he says, how's it going to fit onto one regular old DVD when they're trying to do that exact thing? And this goes on to what we were mentioning earlier, is how much content's really got to be cut. I really, really like Epic as a company, but to get my dig on them, just because we make fun of everyone on the show, Gears of War was reportedly running at 16 frames per second at the Tokyo Game Show, so need some tweaking. Yeah, need some optimization. I can run faster than 16 frames per second. All joking aside, I think Gears of War is going to probably end up being a pretty good game, but I just do find it funny how our boy Peter Moore was saying all these people love it, and the two people that we've talked about today both said they have questions about how it's all going to fit.
Next topic.
Review of X-Men Legends 2 for the Xbox. Over this past weekend, we all went over to Phil's house, and we played some X-Men Legends 2. I picked it up. I also brought my handy-dandy new MP3 player, an iRiver H10, highly recommended. Had the stupid impression that I was going to record some of the stuff we were doing. Ivan was there. He's been on the podcast in the past. Bob, me, Keith, Phil. All I actually ended up recording was Phil's lunch order.
Capicola sandwich, lettuce, tomato, roasted red peppers, mozzarella cheese.
Yep. All right, thank you, Phil.
So X-Men Legends 2, they fixed a lot of the issues and they brought up a bunch of issues of their own.
It's also a sequel to Diablo.
It is a single or multiplayer game where you control an individual little X-Man from kind of almost a three-quarters overhead perspective, kind of a brawler button mashing in the vein of Double Dragon or Streets of Rage or Final Fight, except there's an RPG kind of leveling aspect to it. As you get experience, say Wolverine, for example, attains a new level, you can spend his stat points. You can also increase his abilities, his claw slash. You can give him some kind of defensive yell. You can make him do super crazy berserker fury thing. The spin this time is that the X-Men and the Evil Mutants Brotherhood are teaming up to try and take out Apocalypse. So in addition to all of the X-Men that you can also be many of the Evil Brotherhood dudes like Magneto, Juggernaut, Mystique, Toad. I think, Toad. There's a bunch of different X-Men. We're not real big X-Men fans, so we really could care less. I mean, it's got Wolverine, it's got Colossus in it, I believe Iceman, Rogue, Storm, Jean Grey. If you haven't played the first game, you're probably okay with just picking this one up. If you have played the first game, I recommend picking this one up because, like I said, they fixed a lot of the issues. The biggest problems that we had, we played mostly multiplayer, and it just seemed like every time something happened, they chose this giant 28-point font to tell you about it. So when three people in your party level, you can't see what's going on because it says Wolverine level, Nightcrawler level,
yeah, right
Colossus
in the middle
level
of the screen.
And as far as the enemy's power bar, that freaking thing is huge, and it takes up about a good quarter of the top of the screen. So every time somebody punches someone, it's hard to see all the stuff that you're trying to see on the screen.
When you're playing multiplayer and you're kind of creeping your whole team forward, and you have two guys up like near the front, which is at the top of the screen, and that's the first people who come in contact with any of the bad guys. So the first two people who accidentally find the new bad guys are fighting right underneath the enemy health bar and can't see a thing that they're doing.
And again, this was on Phil's 57-inch widescreen TV, so you poor folks with 13 to 20 inches, sorry. I will also say that while the game is very good and very well done, it's pretty easy. I mean, there was only two or three parts that were stupid hard that we had any issues at all with. The rest of the game, we kind of just breezed through on normal difficulty, so I recommend cranking it up to hard.
The hardest part we had was just a couple of the boss levels were just some really, really kind of stupid puzzles that were just been ridiculously difficult regardless of what level you were playing on. A lot of having to kill a bad guy at a certain location and other just random nonsensory.
Now, the game is pretty long. I mean, we played 9 hours, and I don't even know how far we got through.
And played the game the day we bought it, all five of us, for 9 hours straight. Just so you know, with one break for sandwiches.
And the game is multiplayer co-op online, which is also kind of cool. Unfortunately, I jumped on last night to see if anyone was around. Not a single freaking person was playing X-Men Legends 2 online on Xbox Live. Now, it did warn me, though. Hey, warning, this will only show games of compatible resolution and compatible TV style. So I think that means PAL versus NTSC. I hope it doesn't mean having a widescreen TV like I do, I only see other people in widescreen TVs. That would kind of suck. I could have tested that, but I'm lazy, so I won't. So that's a potential down. I mean, all that being said, I really actually did like the game quite a bit. We played it again for 9 hours, and nobody really got bored. If I had to score it, I would score it as an 8.5 out of 10.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Yeah, they have far too many shooty people.
What do you mean?
Sunfire, Bishop, Cyclops, Jean Grey, Scarlet Witch, all these
ranged
people.
Yeah, ranged people instead of melee. Melee is a disadvantage, of course. The ranged people can just kind of sit back, get a bunch of energy so that they don't run out of their shooty powers and kind of own. So possibly a full review to be on our website, but there was our little 3-minute X-Men Legends review. We all gave it an 8.5. I recommend that you pick it up. It's out for the PS2, the Xbox, and the GameCube, but the poor saps that have the GameCube cannot play online. Sorry about that. There's danger mode and mission, arenas that you can have, like little death matches and stuff, but it doesn't add a whole lot.
Next topic.
Fact or crap time. We have one craptoid and three factoids in the following. One of these is crap. The other three are facts. You're to tell me which one is the crap. Number one, Uwe Boll is directing the Halo movie. Number two, WWE superstars have been banned from playing video games backstage. Number three, the recent City of Heroes patch makes people physically nauseous due to the colors and sound. And lastly, number four, Microsoft plans on cutting the price of the Xbox 360 annually.
And one of these is crap and others are facts?
Correct.
I want to go first. I think the Microsoft one is crap because they want to make as much money as possible. They're not going to cut anything annually. They're already losing enough money. There, that's my guess.
Keith?
the WWF for E not being able to play games.
Okay, I think this is a first. Nobody got it right. The crap was actually Uwe Boll directing the Halo movie.
He directs all video game movies.
Yes, I know. As a matter of fact, on IMDb, I believe last week, somebody, since it's user-edited, somebody actually put up that Uwe Boll would be the director of Halo. That has been confirmed to be a rumor. There's also rumors that our boy Peter Jackson of Lord of the Rings and King Kong fame was going to be directing. I think he had a prior engagement. He will not be directing the movie either. In a surprise move, Microsoft is letting Keith direct the movie, so...
Oh, yeah!
Since he likes Halo so much, I'm sure this will be an excellent film. The other ones that are all fact, WWE superstars have been banned from playing video games backstage. That is care of 24wrestling.com. I just found it funny that wrestlers who are on the road constantly and really have no friends or personal life outside of wrestling have been told that they're not allowed to play video games. The thumbs, I guess, are very important in the professional wrestling arenas.
Do you have anything else, like what prompted that? What was the
management? Didn't have a lot of information other than that Kane and Benjamin something or other were the best at the wrestling games for the WWE. I know nothing about wrestling, nor do I care to, but it's related to video games.
All right, well, there. Somebody out there in listener land, if you know why they were all banned, I want to hear it, because I bet it's pretty funny.
Something with the Sonic thing for City of Heroes made people nauseous.
Yes, the City of Heroes patch that was was just released, it was to enhance the Sonic power sets. It had apparently, and we stopped playing City of Heroes, so we can't verify firsthand, but it's been verified all over the internet, that it was making people physically ill because of the colors and the sound effects and stuff. They were just getting nauseous.
Fantastic. I mentioned to Chris when he had told me this earlier, City of Heroes has switched from making people sick with their great world restructuring halfway through the game and just skip to making people sick. Yeah, cut out the middleman.
I was reading that on the forums.
You may be sick of our changes, but now I will make you physically ill. Enjoy.
Sick. Persevere through your illness and defeat the villains.
Now you know what it feels like to get vomited upon by a Vaholzik guy.
Oh, so yeah, way to go, Cryptic. Way to take a sweet game and just make it so people physically throw up while playing it. Good job. Congrats. And lastly, Microsoft plans on cutting the price annually for the 360. Believe it or not, this is a fact. Todd Holmdale, an Xbox VP, said this of the UK versions. Now, again, this is the UK. It may or may not be true in the US. That being said, in the past, anytime any kind of price cuts or anything have been in the UK, they've always been repeated in the United States. Annually, they're going to lower the price on the Xbox 360. That's the game plan.
Mm-hmm,
now,
mm-hmm.
Like Bob said, I'll believe it when I see it, but about a year after its release, probably the PlayStation will be coming out, so I think maybe that's the first price cut, and as everybody in the current generation of consoles knows, they have several price cuts. So, I mean, it makes logical sense. This might be true, but as Bob said it might also be bullshit.
Next topic.
Try and make it quick here. Nintendo DS impressions. Real quickly, my Game Boy SP broke. The L&R triggers didn't really work anymore, so I needed to buy a new one. So I bought a Game Boy Micro. No, I'm just kidding. I wouldn't buy that piece of crap. I got an I figured for $80 I could buy another GBSP. For $55 I could send it to Nintendo to fix. So I appreciate that, Nintendo. Something that costs $80 you're going to charge me 75% of to get it fixed. Or I could just break down, spend an extra $40 and get an Nintendo DS. So take a wild guess what made most sense. I bought Meteos, and I figured, alright, cool, now I can play my Game Boy games, I can play any cool DS games that come out, etc., etc. The first thing I noticed is that the Nintendo DS really does feel like a cheap plastic toy. The PSP feels like a sexy piece of electronic equipment, and the DS just felt weak and cheap. That's not saying how it performs, I'm just saying the feel of it in my hands was just like, I mean, what did you guys think of it? You messed around with it a little bit.
Still don't like the idea of a stylus. They need to have some type of attachment, or else it's going to keep falling into, I don't know, couch cushions or something.
Stuff would never happen. Nobody would ever drop the stylus losing it.
Did I find the thing or not? Because I didn't lose it,
around,
I just dropped it.
Rooting around, essentially, in your brother's trying to get it. He was too lazy to get up.
I was playing X-Men, dude. People need saved. Wolverine can't stop because some idiot drops a stylus. He has no need for such things. Vengeance must be served. Justice must be distributed. The stylus
Justice
is pretty
must
forced.
Be distributed.
Yeah. Meteos sucks. It would be a decent game if you couldn't just, in a panicked state, scribble all over the screen beating the game. I mean, Keith, you pretty much beat the game, right? Didn't even stare at the screen while playing it.
I didn't know what I was doing. I was just scribbling on the screen and I won.
Mike bought Advance Wars DS, and the stylus is again forced. You can play that entire game without the stylus at all. So I hope some of the new games are a little more innovative than they have. That being said, I'm not disappointed with the DS. I mean, it performed pretty much how I thought it would be. Again, I got it primarily because I needed to play Game Boy Advanced SP games on it. But we'll see. We'll see how it goes. I wasn't super bad with it. Another thing, on October 7th, the Nintendo DS will drop 10% in price down to £90 in the UK. And again, if stuff happens in the UK, it usually happens over here. So thank you, Nintendo. Merely hours after I got the Nintendo DS, you decided to lower the price. Appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Next topic.
Okay, forum question. www.dreamstation.cc and our general forums, every week we post a poll. This past week's question was, do you think that multi-platform game releases will stop with the next generation? 13% of the folks said yes, they will. 26% no, they won't. 61%, the overwhelming majority, said that the multi-platform game releases for next generation will decrease but not stop. Let me read some of these comments real quickly and then we can get into our thoughts on the subject. Master Chief 0987 said, yes, I believe it will cut down significantly, except for bigger companies such as EA. They can afford to put out more than one system. It won't go away completely because of big franchises like Madden, Burnout, Ghost Recon, etc. Because how would you decide which console to put your game on without making the fans go and destroy your headquarters? So that said, you can basically count the relevant console-specific exclusives on one hand, maybe two at best. When you consider how many games have been released on the Xbox PS2 since it launched, it's really a no-brainer that the same will happen with the next generation. Sid has kind of said, no, there's a lot more than two hands worth of exclusives, but then went on to say, honestly, Nintendo already gets poor third-party support, at least in terms of good games, and it lives off of its homegrown quality titles. So the Revolution's weirdo controller may not alienate it that much more. That's a Nintendo fan calling it a weirdo controller. As for the Xbox 360 and the PS3, the difficulty in coding the PS3 may cause less third-party titles to go both consoles. Arcus, A-E-R-Q-U-O-S, give me a pronunciation on that. For now, you will be called Arcus. The games could be like last generation, where there would be better loading times on the PS3 or whatever. However, I have a feeling that they would only make multi-platform games for the PS3 and Xbox, because the Revolution hardware is so different. I believe that the games will still be fun for multiple platforms, except for Nintendo. They will be left out. Poor Nintendo. Night Sword, it will slow down, but many companies will make games for various systems. It will be the big companies that do it, i.e. the evil empire of EA, or that licensing crap that's been plaguing game systems since E.T. on the Atari. That's way back in the day.
I also agree that you had to walk around, you'd fall in the little pits, and the FBI guys would chase you, and then you'd have to, like, extend your neck to float back up out of the pit, and you only had so much life to do all that.
It was a pretty quality game, and we owned it. We're dumb. God, we're dumb. I also agree that while these games will not support the full power of each system for a while, and they will look like previous generation games. I mean, what do you guys think? Multi-platform going to continue or no?
Yeah, definitely. I think so.
Yeah, I just don't. I think there won't be as many.
They'll make it for their system, and then, you know, do whatever easy port they can do, which will probably be, you know, just a straight port to the higher level systems that can support it, and then not bother doing it for Nintendo.
It would still
run as well, but, you know, it's another. You'll probably make a few bucks off of it. And why not?
I would assume that they would make it for the PS3 and then port it over to the other system. That being said, the head dude over at Ninja for Tecmo, he has said that the Xbox 360 will clearly blow away all the other systems, and he's so happy with it, yada yada. PS3's architecture is going to kill it because it's going to be too hard to make games that run well. I guess time will tell. Next week poll, have you ever competed in an organized video game tournament? This would be like a Halo tournament or a Soul Calibur or a PC, like some sort of organized LAN party tournament type of thing. Have you ever competed in one? For any system?
Wait. I want specifics on this. Do you mean something that's organized with, like, prize money and stuff, or just, like, you and 10 buddies at your house?
An actual organized, with prizes, maybe an entry fee, you know, over 4 people in it type of thing. An actual organized event.
Okay.
Next topic.
And lastly this week would be the mailbag. 3 times, a little bonus this week. I asked 4 people who owned UMD movies for the PlayStation Portable to email me. I got a whopping 1 response from Jason from Seattle.
Go, Jason. So. What do you admit to that? The first step is admitting you have a problem.
I own 4 PSP movies as well as about 8 different games for the remarkable handheld. I commute on the bus about 1.5 hours each day to work, and the PSP has become something of a full multimedia device / laptop. It does every task pretty well. I even listen to your podcast on it. UMD movies, while a bit on the expensive side, do look great and are easier to swap in and out on the fly than having to use a PC to transfer the downloaded stuff and encode it all, BitTorrent movies, to the memory stick. The movies I own are Ghost in the Shell, Ninja Scroll, Hellboy, and Spider-Man 2. When the price of the UMD comes comes down to something reasonable like $10, I'll pick up even more. In defense of Jason, he had a lot of good points here. I mean, it is kind of a pain to do the whole transfer and download thing.
Yeah,
you're going to spend about $150.
The swapping is kind of a big deal. I never even thought of that.
And you're going to have to spend like $100, $150 on some sort of large memory stick to put all this stuff on. So for $150, you know, you can buy 2 UMD movies. I'm just kidding. You can buy 3 UMD movies. But I think the key here to what he's saying is he's basically a bus commuter, so an hour and a half every day. If I had to commute an hour and a half every day and I didn't have to worry about things like, I don't know, driving, I would probably play my handhelds a lot more.
You need to find a job that's closer to your house. That's 3 hours of your day that you're spend going to and from work.
Basketball Forward said that Sony has an odd taste for advertising. In Malaysia at a bus stop, they have posted bubble wrap to promote the PSP. This was actually a real thing. They have a giant wall with all kinds of little bubbles, and under each bubble is like an X, a circle, a triangle, or a square, and people, I guess, just stand at the bus stop and pop these bubble wrap. Where this was reported, somebody had said in the comments that he finds playing with the bubble wrap much more exciting than playing with his PSP. Cartman84, is there any chance of getting a video cast of your show? I know it's a lot of work, but maybe you can do one every month or maybe every 2 months. By the way, by opening this email, you are agreeing to record video cast. If you do not intend to do a video cast...
Well played.
Yeah.
Well
do not open
played,
this message.
Cartman, well played.
So good. Fortunately, I did not open the email, so I don't have to do any video casts. He said, great show last week. Arrgh!
Yo, ho, ho!
As we've kind of stated before, I don't have the time to do it. I don't have the money to do it. I don't know how big the files would be, etc. So I'm not going to rule it out ever, ever, ever. But in the foreseeable future, we will not be doing video casts. Now, if somehow we're making tons of money and I can not have a full-time job and I can do this full-time, sure, we can do a whole bunch of things. T-shirts and everything else. But we'll just take it one day at a time, I guess. Mike from British Columbia. Love the podcast. Been listening to it since the night iTunes came out. 4.9 with podcasts. I always thought your podcast was more entertaining than the other podcast I listened to. I also found that you guys are a lot more accurate when this other podcast talked about the Revolution controller. They spent 10 minutes ripping on how anti-ergonomic the remote design is, and then briefly mentioned the features as an afterthought. Your podcast is funny. It makes me laugh at the bus stop, and people stare at me. So thank you. The only reason I did bring this up, I'm not going to rip on any other podcasts. I'm not going to say how we're so much better than other podcasts, because that's probably not true anyways. I will say, however, that I guess a lot of the people in coverage of the Nintendo Revolution controller just basically made fun of it and didn't even talk about it. And, I mean, we make fun of Nintendo quite a bit, but when something's kind of newsworthy, I mean, my personal opinion is that in addition to just making fun of things and saying whatever about whatever, we at least attempt to bring you news. We may horribly screw it up and make fun of it and joke, but our attempt is at least, you know, here's something new, here's something revolutionary, let's discuss it a little bit rather than just say, you know, Nintendo is for kids, Nintendo is for kids. That being said, Nintendo is for kids, Nintendo is for kids. Mikhail says, I just read an interview with David Cage, the creator of Indigo Prophecy. It's called Fahrenheit in Europe. He mentioned that your buddies, they're not my buddies, at the ESRB have made him change certain things in the United States version of the game. Some things are that they forced them to put on bathing suits on people in the shower. How weird is that? They also had to make sure there weren't any naked models in the game, even if they weren't in the game, to prevent another hot coffee. I'm sorry I interrupted you, Keith. Go ahead.
I was going to say, that game looks really cool.
It has been getting pretty good reviews. It's kind of shot more like a movie rather than a game. With the amount of good games coming out, I can't say that I'll pick this one up. Maybe when it hits the budget titles, or if David Cage, if you want to send me the game to review, I'd be more than welcome to take it. One of you may end up reviewing it because I simply don't have the time.
You still haven't played Missing
good stuff.
Since January.
No, I have not. I hang my head in shame. Rivas says, awesome podcast. Funny, and I like the comments and speculation you guys put out concerning the questions about docks for mobile devices. There is one for the PSP that was revealed this past week. It's from Team Extender. You may have heard about them. They basically create aftermarket products for consoles and replacement cases and stuff. The PSP dock is called PSP to TV, and it is estimated to be about $120 to $150 US. That allows you to put an output component to your television or any other input display device. It has a connector so you can hook it up to an external power source and use your wall outlet. So it basically allows you to output your PSP to either a widescreen or a regular TV. It's pretty expensive. It's the only one on the market. So he just wanted to let us know that that stuff does exist. So thank you. That's still way too much money if you add all that up. Now the PSP is costing almost the price of an Xbox 360. So thank you guys for your emails. Please keep coming. If you got audio comments or questions, go ahead and send them over. I would really hope they're under a mag. You can go ahead and send them to videogameshow@dreamstation.cc. Phil is back. He has been summoned, and he has returned from slaying all the children that have made fun of the summoner.
Next topic.
Okay, what you have been listening to was show number 13. I didn't even correct it and say that we were listening to show number 24. I left it 13.
Wait,
show number 13. www.dreamstation.cc. For all of the ooze, news, reviews, interviews, forums, podcasts, feed, and downloadable show archive. Email us, videogameshow at dreamstation.cc. Again, if you want to vote, podcastalley.com, odeo.com. I just found out Winamp can also read podcast feeds through its Shoutcast stuff, so that's kind of cool. Winamp's pretty decent. Anyone have anything else?
Show number 23 was supposedly brought to you by the letter T, and the numbers 1983 through 1987.
Oh, he looked up actual dates that Mr. T was popular? Is that what 83, 87 was?
Wow.
They was from the Mandinka tribe, and they wore their hair like this.
So, we thank you for listening to this podcast, and again, next week, the Bob, Keith, and Phil show will run amok on iPods everywhere.
Indeed, it will.
I'm going to Florida. I will try and maybe possibly do some sort of review. I guess there's some big cheesy old Dave and Buster style thing where you get to pay $25 and play all you want. We'll see how that goes. I have no internet access at the hotel room, so I will be back in 2 weeks.
Yeah. And I'm going to go eat.
Thanks, gents.
I'm sorry I couldn't have been more funny.